While classical music is a genre of music that can still be created today, the classical period of art and music lasted from 1750 to 1820 and changed how we think of music and composing. The classical era focused on composing music with clarity and with strong melodies that get stuck in your head. And speaking of songs that get stuck in your head, you're hearing Eine kleine Nachtmusik by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, one of the most prominent classical era composers who is still known around the world today for his talent and influence on the classical music genre. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's father, Leopold Mozart, was also a musician and began teaching his children music at a young age. Both Wolfgang Mozart and his sister, Maria Anna Mozart, were fast learners and musical prodigies. Maria Anna began playing the piano at age 7 and quickly became very skilled at it. And Wolfgang began playing the piano at age 3 and started composing his first songs at age 5. 3 years later, the siblings and their father began a 3-year-long tour of Europe to perform for royalty and prominent musicians. During these tours, Wolfgang and Maria Anna would both compose and play their songs for eager listeners. While Maria Anna would be forced away from the piano and touring due to her gender, Mozart would continue his musical journey and continued to tour during his teenage years and early adulthood, meeting many prestigious and skilled performers who inspired him. One of them was actually the son of Johann Sebastian Bach, Johann Christian Bach, being a large inspiration for Mozart's symphonies and keyboard compositions. At age 17, he found work playing music for the Prince Archbishop of Salzburg in his hometown. While the job allowed him to compose many songs and paid fine for the time, Mozart always wanted to do more. While still under employment of the Prince Archbishop, he created the opera Idomeneo, which people really liked. And after Mozart and the Prince began to argue and bicker, Mozart decided to quit his job and move to Vienna. Here, Mozart worked as a composer, teacher, and publisher of music, not working for any one person, but instead working for those who appreciated his work and would offer fair pay. During his time in Vienna, Mozart saw both success and failure. When work was common and artistic need was high, he could afford many things and live with a sense of luxury. However, when work was rare and things such as war and disease took people's minds away from the arts, he, his wife, and his 2 kids actually fell into debt. During his time in Vienna, Mozart made strong connections with other talented classical era composers, such as Joseph Haydn and his brother Salieri and Clementi, all of whom collaborated, sharing knowledge, talent, and ideas. During his time in Vienna, Mozart was able to compose many operas, such as Don Giovanni and The Magic Flute, along with composing some of his most famous songs, such as Rondo alla Turca. One thing which made Mozart and his composition special is that he could imagine an entire song in his head and write it on paper. However, that didn't mean he always got it right on the first try. Like all composers, he had to revise and rework his songs many times until he was perfectly happy with them. Mozart would continue making music in Vienna until 1791, when he would pass away due to illness at age 35. Mozart was a musician all of his life, and his work will continue to inspire artists for generations. Next, we'll be talking about a composer from both the classical and romantic era, Ludwig von Beethoven, along with hearing more from a modern composing legend, Bill Sherman.
Mozart's at the window.
Let him in, let him in, let him in.
Now Mozart's in the closet.
Let him out, let him out, let him out.
He's here.
He's in your hair.
He's there.
He's everywhere.
Now
Boots lights on the rooftop.
Let him in, let him in, let him in.
He's coming down the chimney, now he's tracking dirt around the house.
He makes a whinny like a horse, and then he's quiet as a mouse.
He's hiding underneath the sofa over there.
Where'd he go? He seems to disappear into thin air.
Here he is, I found him swinging from the chandelier.
Drinking Papa's beer.
In his underwear.
In his underwear.
In his underwear, aware. He's always running here or there. It's true, so true.
Oh, what will his poor mama say when she finds he's broken all the china she got in France, which was hand-painted with a strange medieval dance of torment prancing in short pants?
The prize begonias in the yard were hit hard, they never had a chance. They're trampled underneath the garden window, the roses do. Painted blue by you know who.
He never, never, ever seems to give a worry or a care.
He's always spinning like a top, there's always trouble in the air.
There'll never be a moment's peace as long as little Mozart's there.
He is trouble everywhere, he is trouble everywhere, I swear. Now Mozart's very quiet, it's fishy, suspicious.
Where is he?
He's skating
now
on the sidewalk, he's running in the hallway,
he's talking in the movies,
he's eating on the subway,
he's feeding all the meters,
he's hunting our great leaders,
he's just a
fun of jet
plane,
he's stuck at just a
plane,
stuck at
just
a plane,
stuck
at just a plane,
stuck
at just a plane,
stuck at just a plane,
and now he's at the airport hotel.
Splashing in the fountain,
he's calling for room service.
The concierge is nervous.
Now Mozart's blowing smoke from a cigar. There's chaos in the lobby. Bad boy Mozart's on the bar, playing loud guitar.
Now
Mozart's in his bedroom.
Let me out, let me out, let me out.
He's grounded for the weekend.
Let me out, let me out, let me out.
Unfair.
He pounds the door.
Unfair.
He stomps the floor.
His mother's wearing headphones.
Shut him out, shut him out, shut him out.
Now Mozart's sliding down the drain by the window of his room. He lands as lightly as a cat and looks around him in the gloom. He's got a backpack full of toilet paper with a faint perfume.
Are
flying high above the moon and up to the sky.
The trees will bloom.
Each and every branch is dripping white as mom will surely cry.
Outside his room.
The ogre's howling at the
his mother can do not but fret his fume.
Can do not but fret his
fume. She's to his father in
cartoon. She's to his father in cartoon.
When Terry turns, his son will meet his doom. Kaboom.
Attention, cause I'm about to mention some things you both need to hear. This is a word for the ages, used in many stages of life, so I'll be crystal clear. A best friend is your old dog, wherever you go, dog, they're always by your side. But even with best friends, there are moments when you don't see eye to eye. Sometimes when you wanna go left, your friend wants to go right. They go up, go down, now you're both spinning round and circles, but no need to fight. That's when you just breathe for a minute before emotions start to rise. Then just take the opportunity to compromise. You both need to compromise. You both need to compromise. Your master plan was to visit every single place. And I know, and you just want your hand around the world famous Philly cheesesteak. Now these two ideas may seem to be on completely opposite sides, but if it takes some time, you will find the closer than you realize. You just had to breathe for a minute before emotions start to rise. That's when you'll see there can be a compromise. Oh, just breathe for a minute before we start a fight, and take the opportunity to compromise. Both need to compromise.
That's right. City of brotherly love.
Ooh, yeah.
compromise.
You heard Gunnar Madsen with Mozart's at the Window, and then City of Brotherly Love was Boys to Men. That's coming off of the compilation release called Jam Van. It's the music from the Jam Van musical, and Daniel, our junior producer and intern, continues his conversation with Jam Van's creator, executive producer, and music director, Bill Sherman. He's a legend on Broadway after working on Hamilton and In the Heights with Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he's also a composer on Sesame Street.
Another big staple of both yours and Lin's music is how well they blend different cultural influences to create a cohesive work of art. Can you talk a little bit about that?
When I was working with Lin very early on, he and I, we actually were roommates together, and we lived in Washington Heights. And Washington Heights is the neighborhood that In the Heights was based upon. And for him, it was sort of like, what would it be like to walk this street where we lived on Washington Heights and what it sounded like? So it was like salsa music and merengue music and hip hop and all these things sort of mushed together on just one block. That sort of says a lot, both about New York and about the world that we live in, that you can hear that many things and have that many experiences sonically on one block, right? And so Lin has sort of made a major part of his career sort of infusing his cultural heritage as a Latino person into his music. And so, like, therefore, when I sort of worked on his shows and stuff, it trickled down to me too. Like, I didn't grow up in Washington Heights. I grew up on Long Island, which is a very different place. Learning all about all that music and stuff was a touchstone for Lin and I. And also for, like, theatrical culture. It was sort of the first time Latin music and hip hop had been on Broadway. And I think that was a really great first moment. I was really big into West African music when I was in college. I went to Ghana in West Africa when I was in junior, and I love that music and I love to study it. And I feel like the rhythmic complexity of that music, at least for me, sort of, I hope would come out in the music that I make. With Lin, you know, hip hop is in his blood. And so he had to like figure out a way to get that out. And so that's sort of, you know, how he did that particular thing in Hamilton. I think with me, it's like trying to keep kids' music like in a current place. There's not that much of a difference between what you hear on the radio and what you might hear on one of my shows. That's important because these days, children and adults are used to hearing certain things, and I feel like those are things that are comforting. And so you want to sort of use those sounds everywhere and want to have those sounds sort of permeate all parts of your ears and my ears and everybody else's ears. We all have that thing in common. And I think when you're trying to teach something, if you're teaching it with a sound that people know and love, it's sort of easier to grasp the learning part of it when the sound is sort of also something you know. I'm a big believer in that too. So those aspects are important in, you know, creating a successful piece of music.
Wow. So you use sounds that people hear in their lives to better connect with them. But just like we all hear different sounds, we also have different ways of singing. Do you believe it's important to hear a wide diversity of voices in our music?
I think hearing everybody's voice is the most important thing there is. I think that sort of individuality is sort of what music is based upon. And I think having people's thoughts and hope, translating it to their voices is so important. I think that's how artists communicate, you know, that's how musicians communicate. You can listen to music for so many reasons, right? It's at the end of the day, you want to wind down, you put on this kind of song, or you go to the gym, or you're out running or something and you want energy, so you listen to this kind of music. And I think that that's so interesting, isn't it? That music can give you a certain drive, or music can lull you to bed, or music can inspire you to do something else. I was in the gym the other day and a song came on my thing that I hadn't heard in a while, and I started dancing around the gym. There's like many other people there, and there's this one friend of mine who looked at me like there was something wrong with me. Something about that song brought up a memory in me, and it was from like many, many years ago, and I was just like, oh, I remember the song, and I love it. And so I was just dancing around the gym, and then all of a sudden I look up, and there's all these people staring at me, and I was like, oh my God, this is really embarrassing. I think the point of that is it's like music can make you remember and recall things from your past. It's sort of one of those things that's really universal and that people feel and hear music in all different ways. And I think that that's so interesting. It's not like you can say that about everything.
Do you have any musical mentors or people that inspire your work?
When I was in fourth grade, I told you I played the clarinet. So the guy who taught me how to play the clarinet is this guy named Gary Meyer. And he was my elementary school music teacher. And Gary is this unbelievable woodwind player. He taught me the saxophone. He taught me the flute, the clarinet, and I studied with him until I left for college. And we've been great friends ever since. And so when I got the job at Sesame Street 15 years ago, and I needed to put a band together, I hired him to be one of the band members. So he's been sort of in my life for like 30 years or something like that. I've only known my parents and my sister longer than I've known this guy. My other mentor is my dad. And I only say that because he loves to give advice, my dad. And so sometimes I don't want it, and sometimes I do. And so he's been, you know, my biggest advocate, my biggest mentor my whole life, and he's great. Anyway, people have been asking me to mentor them. That relationship has sort of happened. And so that's an interesting thing, to go from somebody who has mentors to somebody who is a mentor. And I hope that I can just be helpful for the people who have asked for my help.
That was Bill Sherman. He is a prolific composer and producer who has worked extensively in the music industry. You just heard him talk a little about his time working for Sesame Street. So let's take a listen to one of the Emmy-winning songs he produced on the show. This is The Power of Yet.
You tried to add, but the numbers came out wrong. You tried to sing, but you didn't know the whole song. You tried to cook, but the food, it didn't taste right. You tried to dunk, but you didn't get enough hype. You didn't do it right now, but keep trying, you learn how. You just didn't get it yet, but you'll get it soon, I bet. That's the power of a yet.
Yet, yet, yet.
That's the power of a yet.
Yet, 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 yet.
That is what you get with the power of a yet. Come on. You tried to ride, but you couldn't make a letter R. You tried to jump, but you didn't make it very far. You tried to drum, but you couldn't find a downbeat. You tried to dance, but you tripped on your own feet. Just breathe, don't lose control. Keep trying. That's the power of a yet.
Yet, 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 yet.
Ready, get set with the power of a yet. Break it down now. There's no mountain you can climb. It just takes a little time. Cause you got what it takes. Just learn from your mistakes. Try and try again. And one day you step up and then you try to add and you get the right answer. You sing a song and you be a great dancer. And that is what you get. Woo! And that is what you get with the power of it.
In the background, you're hearing a modern composer, Ira Gershwin, with Rhapsody in Blue. This is performed by the Slavonic Philharmonic, and it's from Classical Music for People Who Hate Classical Music. Today on the Children's Hour, we're learning about composers with our junior producer and intern, Daniel Lentz. You can learn a lot more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Composers, where you'll find a learning guide full of activities and citations for meeting national education standards. That's all at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Composers. We've got a lot more to learn. Stick with us.
Listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is now producing weekly educational modules to go with every episode, thanks to a grant from the Albuquerque Community Foundation. You can support this effort too. Go to childrenshour.org and click donate. The Children's Hour is grateful to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting our recordings. Many thanks to New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and the National Endowment for the Arts for their support of the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is grateful to the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund for their support.